Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God again. And we're going to talk about the decline of the Roman Empire, because that decline was setting the scene for the coming of Christ. The Roman Empire had become this vast, organized system of men reaching out into many other countries, and the Roman presence was felt all around the Mediterranean and North Africa. And they had some countries like Cilicia that were independent states, and then they had others that were client states, and others that were colonies, and others that were completely independent, but allowed Romans to come in and set up settlements, because Romans were great investors. They put a lot of money and time and energy in building harbors and roads and coliseums, and they were good for business. And Judea had invited them in, which we talked about in the last show. Aristobulus had invited them there. And eventually, Pompey decided, when there were complaints from Aristobulus after his throne was confirmed, that the Romans were causing him to roll back certain laws. And we have a tendency to think that the Romans were just these tyrants. The reality, Romans were very law-minded. When Romans came to Aristobulus to determine whether or not Aristobulus was the right king, at his invitation, they didn't open up Roman law books. They opened up Judaic law books. They understood law. Who is the rightful king? That's why Rome was there. It hadn't conquered Judea. Now, there was going to be another battle, but it was still somewhat of an independent state with a Roman presence. Think of the Roman government as a peacekeeping force, making sure that Judeans got their rightful king. Now, they decided that Hyrcanus had a better claim, but Hyrcanus would not appeal to Rome for support, because that would be a violation of the Torah. You can't make these treaties with other governments and apply to them to protect you, because protection draws subjection, which you'll hear about in some of our other books that we explain how the system works. And you need to know that, because that's the context in which Christ is coming into history. And understanding history allows you to see the future, because history does repeat itself. So Rome had started going the way of the free bread and circuses. It had moved from a fairly pure republic to a somewhat of an indirect democracy, electing a Senate, and the Electoral College of the Senate actually eventually elected the first Roman emperor. After a civil war, things changed in Rome. Rome was not the same at the time of Christ that it was 500 years before, or 300 years before, or even when Pompey came to Judea. Judea was changing also. It had changed under the Hasmoneans, but now there was a new king rising up, and he was Herod, and he offered a new deal, a new system of social welfare that would collect a portion of what you earned every year and deposited into treasuries, and then redistributed amongst the people. Now, the temple always was to take care of the social welfare through its congregations of congregations, tens, hundreds, and thousands, that people helped one another out, but it was dependent upon free will offerings. Rome had done the same thing 500 years before and 300 years before, and that was part of their culture as well. But now these new ideas that crept in from some of the Greek city-states of social welfare, where you would pay into the temple would have a treasury, and then the ministers of that temple and local synagogues and congregations would have resources to pay out benefits. To know how much to give out was no longer entirely in the hands of the local ministers picked by the people. It now was going to be determined by the Sanhedrin, or the Senate in Rome. They would write up in a vast bureaucracy statutory regulations as to who's going to get what depending on circumstances and conditions. And at first it seemed to work. Lots of money poured in. Herod built the Temple of Herod. He also built the Temple of Roma. How did membership get established? Well, it got established through the baptism of Herod. Now, he didn't use baptism with the Temple of Roma that he built, but baptism was a tradition amongst the Jews. They used it many times, and we have articles on this on the website that show you other people that talk about how baptism was a common thing amongst the Jews And there was the baptism of Herod. But along came a man by the name of John, who we know as John the Baptist, who was the son of one of the priests of Judea. And he was out in Jordan and other places, as we see from the New Testament. He was baptizing people, and they came out and asked him, how does this work? And he says, you have extra, you share with those that don't have enough. Now, they were still organizing in the tens, hundreds, and thousands, because that was also a tradition. They weren't just, you know, going off, and if you see somebody with a flat tire or the wheel came off their chariot, you help them. They were actually organizing themselves in a system of social welfare, which we write whole books on, what they were doing back there in the days of Abraham and when Moses first established the Mosaic Law, that they operated the system of altars, which were actually part of a system of taking care of one another through free will offerings. Now, in Psalm 69:22, we see where David says, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Now, that's Old Testament. A lot of people say, oh, well, that's Old Testament, we don't have to pay any attention. But Paul, in Romans 11:9, is quoting David and says, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. So this idea of this table, what's this table? Now, the word table is also the word for bank in the Greek. And treasuries were, you put funds in because it went across these tables or through into the hands, these altars of Israel, where they went into the hands of the priests, and the priests would dole them back according to the needs of the people. And this was a way in which you bound a society together by faith, hope, and charity, by love for one another. And these bonds really hold in hard times. The band of brothers that we talked about many times, the movie that was produced about these soldiers during World War II, real life people that you see at the end. We shared those videos with somebody who was an exchange student from Germany, and he kind of poo-pooed things at first, but by the time he got to the last DVD and saw the interviews, he actually cried at seeing the story of these men and how they became this band of brothers, because they shared. They protected one another. They had to be there for one another. And this is how you create a society that sticks together in hard times, is through this personalized sharing and sacrifice. This is what sacrifice is all about. Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. But in these systems that Herod was setting up and Augustus Caesar was setting up, it's not about loving your neighbor as yourself. It's about obeying the government. So a new environment is being created in society. A new way in which society relates one to another is being created by these socialistic systems of social welfare. And the church was a system of social welfare. And that system was called Corban, which comes from the word that means sacrifice, which comes from a word that means to draw near. And the Romans had a Corban, Q-U-R-B-A-N, sometimes Q-O-R-B-A-N. The Jews had a system of Corban, which we see in the King James as C-O-R-B-A-N. It's also translated treasury, because the Corban had a treasury. You put in funds, originally free will offerings, and those funds are used to take care of the needy of your society, your widows and your orphans. And what happened was, when they followed this new system set up by Herod and his kingdom of heaven, established by force, forcing and compelling by statutory requirements, payment into a treasury to take care of the needy of their society, now you've removed the element of love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, it doesn't just disappear overnight, but it's no longer the structure and power-motivated, the spirit-motivated system of charity and love that once had made Israel such a strong nation. It's now was following in the footsteps of Rome, which was already declining. And so John the Baptist was saying, repent, turn around, go back the other way, set up a system of social welfare based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And others, like the Pharisees, were saying, no, we have this system where it is the law, you must pay in, and we will tell you how much and when. And if you don't, we can arrest you, we can fine you, we can confiscate your property. These are dividing society. And of course, Christ came preaching John the Baptist's system. Everywhere you see the word that is translated love, when Jesus says it, when Paul says it, it's often translated charity. Because the church took care of all the social welfare, what we call the daily ministration, through charity. Through faith, hope, and charity. Faith in the sense that you believed in the ways of God, which was not the ways of force, but the ways of love. Hope, that you hoped that others would be there for you. It wasn't entitlements. It was based on, you know, I gave, I hope you will give back to me. It's not a demand. It's not enforceable. Levites weren't kicking in people's door and taking funds away from them and fining them if they did not tithe. They were simply, if you come together in these free will assemblies and love one another, you will create natural bonds that will take care of you and provide for you in hard times. Jesus says, when he takes the kingdom away from the Pharisees, and he didn't take it away by force, he put them in a situation where they said, we have no king but Caesar. They abandoned the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of Judea, and they became Roman. They went the way that Rome had gone. Now, the interesting thing is some of the Romans, like Putin and Linus and others, Paul's, these are actually relatives of Paul, the apostle, they actually returned to the ways of God. They repented. The Roman centurion had this faith. He understood this idea of service one to another. But Jesus says in Luke 22, 25, 29, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles, talking about governments here, exercise lordship over them, and they have a right to, because you've contracted into these systems. You've taken oaths of allegiance. You've sworn into these systems. And he says, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Who is the benefactor of your society? Who is the benefactor of your family? Are you dependent upon men who exercise authority one over the other in order to provide you with the social welfare? Well, then, what should have been for your welfare shall become a snare, and that protection shall draw subjection. But Jesus says, but ye shall not be so. He says this in Matthew 20:25 and Mark 10:42. This is the way of the kingdom, and this is what Jesus was calling people to repent and seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Until next time, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at hisholychurch.net.